you're listening to Our Lively Tribe podcast. If you are listening on iTunes, please rate us. I think you can rate us on Podomatic too. So please rate us. The more rates and subscribers we get, the better people can find our podcast. So thanks for listening.
Travis, and welcome to another episode of Our Lively Tribe podcast. We're doing it right after our other one right now.
You're not supposed to tell people that.
Yeah, it's two for Wednesday.
Oh, we're not going to post two.
No, but...
maybe.
So, I just came up with another one, another topic. So let's dive into it. And you've been forewarned...
I have been forewarned.
But I thought it would be interesting or maybe helpful for other new widows out there. How did you decide and what made you to decide to get... How did you decide how do I say it? What did you decide to do with all of Steven's things that were left in your guys' house? After he passed away.
This is a lot harder of a topic than I thought it would be. I don't know. Like, I have a hard time sharing this stuff because I want widows to benefit from it because I know at that time, like, I would have as well. But I have a hard time knowing not all of these people that we know are also listening. And it obviously, in their lives right now, doesn't pertain to them. But it's an insight onto how I got through it all. I don't know.
So you're more worried of, like, those people who may be listening who will know.
They'll just know all of the details of what happened.
Why is that a bad thing?
Or of how I dealt with it. It's not a bad thing. It's just... it's personal stuff. And I granted, like, blogging about it is one thing because I know that I blogged so much about each of those moments after he died. And I've never gone back and read them. So I don't necessarily know exactly what I blogged. But blogging is one thing versus, like, actually saying it out loud is a totally different story.
One, saying it to your new husband. I'm sure that's a little different than a computer.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and having you ask me the questions. Like, this is a lot you don't know. Mm-hmm. So, you're brave.
I don't know. This seems like something that every widow would go through. Like, everyone would have the same experience, but handle it differently.
Right. So I can remember, I don't know how long it was after Stephen had passed away, but my sister-in-law, her brother had lost his wife. She was sick. And I remember she asked me, do you want him to come over? Like, would you like to talk to him? And I said, yeah. And, you know, sure. And so he came over, and I remember... asking him, like, what did you do with her things? And he told me that for a year or so, it was still where she had left it. Her shoes were still by the door. You know, her things were still there. And at that time, I was living at my mom and dad's with the boys. And I just knew that I didn't want to go home and see his things. Because I felt like if I did that, then I was going to just... like, expect him to come back for it.
Yeah.
So, I remember, like, the week after he passed, I went back home for the first time. And I needed to get clothes for myself, and I needed to get clothes for the boys. And it was the first time I'd walked in the door. And so I remember not wanting to see any of his things. But that's not avoidable. I think my dad and Stephen's stepdad, George, And I know my friend Brooke was there. And they let me go in by myself. And I think I just laid on our bed and screamed and cried and fell asleep. Because I remember waking up and Brooke was sitting in that rocker that we have upstairs. And it was dark out by then. So it was kind of like, how long have you been here? And she just said, you know, I'll just take you back to your mom and dad's. And so she did. And I knew in that moment that I couldn't be in that house with all of his stuff. That was too hard. So that's a story I've never told you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more to it, but so it was probably another few weeks before I went back to the house again. And I think I went back because we had had some good friends at the time that owned a race shop in town. And they had offered to take all of his stuff out of the garage and store it for me. So I was okay with that. So I went back to the house and they did that. They took all of his tools and all of his trucks and all of his everything, pretty much, out of the garage. And left some things behind. But the majority of it was gone. And then I remember I went into Target and I bought 6 blue totes. And took them back to the house before I moved in. And I put everything in the totes. And I remember thinking, like, how sad that this is what his life is now. Like, it's all of his things fit into 6 boxes. Like, I remember feeling so guilty about that.
At that time, you felt like it should have been more? What do you mean?
Or that it shouldn't have just been stuffed away. I took the sheets off of our bed and all of the bedding and just stuffed it in a container because I didn't want to smell it. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want it to be around. I left some of his shoes in the shoe rack. And obviously, like, all of his pictures were still up. All of our things in our home were still in the same place. The note that he had written on the fridge with some guy's phone number, I left right in that same spot. His bath towel, I left hanging up for months. And I didn't move that. So there were still, like, little bits and pieces reminding me that he was there. But, like, our bedroom, like, I couldn't even stay in it. Like, I went in and I painted all of the walls white. And I bought all new bedroom furniture. Like, I just needed it to look like a different space. I didn't want it to look like our space because it wasn't our space anymore. And I didn't want to be tricking my mind that it was, like, our space. Because it wasn't, and I needed to, like, settle that in my head. And I also didn't want Bryce, like, seeing his clothes still hanging in the closet and thinking that he was, like, still here. I didn't want that. I thought that would confuse him more than it would if I just, you know, took it all out. So, every single thing that I put in the bin from, like, his notebooks and notepads and things he had written on for school, his backpack, his camel pack, his riding gear, everything. All of, like, our things that we had had and collected over the years, notes and cards and stuff. I put every single thing into bins. And I knew where it was, so I knew if I needed it, and I knew if I needed to get it out, I could get it back out. But I needed to not, like, be tricking my mind that he was coming back. So I put it all away. And I think that I learned through a couple books that I read and being a part of that, of Camp Widow, and communicating with other widows, that was okay to do. Like, that was totally okay that I needed to box it all up.
Yeah.
Whereas some widows left it out forever. They never touched his things and, you know, his or her. And, but I quickly understood that I had to do what was best for me. and not what was best for anybody else coming by my house, and not what was best for anybody who thought differently. Like, they weren't living what I was living, so I had to do what was best for me in that moment. And that was, if I was going to live in that house, that I needed to put everything away so I couldn't see it. I don't think I ever went into the garage. Our washer and dryer weren't in there, so I know his dirt bike was still in there. And some of his things were still around, but, and like for each of the boys, Stephen's mom had taken, she came over and when she was down, took all of his like shirts, all of our favorite shirts, that he wore a lot, and his pants and his jeans with like oil stains. And she took everything and she made a big quilt out of it. And so that immediately was like right on our couch. And so that was a huge part of him that was there with us. And so that was great. So if anyone ever thinks about that, that's a great thing to do, is to make a memory quilt, have a memory quilt made.
And now that's what his mom does for people.
She does. She makes memory quilts now.
Mm-hmm, because of that.
Yeah. And so I think just knowing and doing what is right for you in that moment. And like, I knew that in that moment, that was what I needed. But I also knew if that didn't work for me, then I could go back and get everything back out and put it right back where I needed it.
Yeah.
But I think I knew in my heart, like, I needed it put away. And not to forget him, but to just not think that he was coming back for his things, because he wasn't. And so I kept a few of my favorite things of his out and kept him close, but other than that, everything else was put away. So, and I think at that time that was the best choice for me. Like, I don't regret that. You know, we lived in that house another 7 months, and his presence was there, and, you know, in the swing set he put together, and in, you know, the walls he painted, and everything was still there, and so that was a comfort. But I needed to know that I was, you know, in this on my own now, and so.
Crazy.
Yeah. I have it all put away, so if the boy's ever interested in, like, looking through his things, like, it's all there. I don't ever feel a need to go look through his things. Like, I don't feel a sentimental value to it. Like, I see that stuff now, and I'm like, you know, oh yeah, I remember that. Like, it's not, like, a depressing feeling when I see it. It's more of like, oh yeah, like, that was his favorite hoodie. Like, that was a good hoodie, or I don't know. I don't really think much of it. There's a few great hats in there that he liked wearing hats. And so, you know, if the boys ever, you know, want to go through that stuff, I know they'd find some cool stuff that they might like.
Yeah.
But I would also never be hurt if they went, if they didn't want to go through it.
They will one day.
Yeah. For sure. So I'm glad I have it. But I don't feel like an emotional connection to any of it. And I think maybe that's just in my personality too. Like, I don't emotionally connect to things very often, so.
No, you're pretty hard.
Hard ass.
Well, I wonder if that just ties into our last podcast where you're, you know, you don't have the sentimental value to things. And maybe it is because losing Steven and realizing that things just don't matter.
And I also remember, I remember being pissed at, like, all of his things. Like, it sounds stupid, but, like, how is this sweatshirt here and he's not? Like, how are his shoes that he was just wearing last week, how are his work boots sitting here and he's not here? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't give a crap about these work boots, but he's not here. Like, it, I don't want all of this shit. Like, I want him here. And so it was almost like, because I couldn't have that, like, I didn't want his stuff either. And so that was just kind of emotionally detaching myself from everything was easy because I was just pissed.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense that all of these materialistic things were still here. Everything he owned was still here. But he wasn't here. It, like, I couldn't wrap my head around that one. So I was just mad. And I remember I didn't move, like, his shoes until I moved out. And I remember I got, I think someone had paid for a house cleaner to come and clean the house. And I realized she washed his towel and didn't hang it back up. There weren't any fresh towels hung up. And so, like, it didn't take me moving his towel. You know, somebody else did it for me and washed it, and that was kind of it.
You weren't upset about that?
I think I cried. Like, it was just another process and, like, getting through losing him and moving forward.
Yeah.
Another thing. And I know that I'll have that again. I mean, it's been 5.5 years, and I feel like getting rid of the couches will be, like, another loss. And, like, as stupid as it sounds, Hannah will be the hardest of them all.
Yeah.
But she's getting old, and that's hard.
Who's Hannah?
Hannah is the dog that Steven and I got together after we got married. And so she's kind of like my last big attachment to him, other than the boys, obviously. But she's going to be 11 soon, and she's getting slow and getting old. And in my head, she'll never go anywhere. So...
And Aaron doesn't even like dogs.
I don't even like dogs.
So.
She's not a dog.
Yeah.
But she was our first, you know, baby, and she's been through every single moment of everything with me, so.
Yeah, that's what makes it hard.
As stinky and old as she is.
She is very stinky. That dog knows how to smell up a place.
She is the best dog, though.
Yeah, she is the best dog.
She was there when we had Bryce, and there when we had Jake, and...
There when we had Trenton.
There when we had Trenton. After Steven passed, Steven's Aunt Mary took her for a while with another dog that we had that was wild. And I remember... So Steven passed in June, and in end of August, I went to Aunt Mary's house, and she wasn't there, and I just, like, opened the gate and went back there and found Hannah.
Had you not seen Hannah since then? Oh my god.
Yeah. And I put her in my car, and I think I'd been living back at the house for about 1.5 months, and I was like, I need, like, my dog back.
I can't believe it took that long.
I think I was just still in such a fog and in a daze, and I wasn't home a lot. I was at my parents' a lot, and so I finally went and got her and brought her back home, so... Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's a great dog. I got attached to her quicker than the boys because she was... I mean, I'm such a dog person, and she was just... She's awesome.
She follows. Yeah, she was always in the garage with Steven and always outside with him and never ran away. She wanders. Her nose carries her far, and she wanders. But I remember some kids would bring her back and be like, isn't this your dog? And now she goes, and she opens the screen door and lays in the grass in the front yard for hours. I'll find her out there, and I wouldn't have known that she was even out there. She just lays out there and watches the world go by. And
yeah, she'll... We should take her to the vet and have that thing checked out on her face.
I know, but I don't want her... to tell us that she's, like, overweight and getting old, and I'm not. She's just, so she's a big piece of my past that will be hard to get let go of. But that's not going to happen. She's going to live for like another 30 years, right?
We could get her stuff.
Oh, that's terrible. I can't believe you said that.
She'll be around a while.
Ugh. Can't talk about it.
Probably wouldn't smell any worse than she does now.
No. But I think the most important thing to tell any widow is just that you have to do what's best for yourself and not what anybody else tells you. They say not to make any big decisions within the first year. And I think that's good for, like, if it comes to, like, buying something big or selling something big.
You bought a house. You did both of those things within a year.
That's true.
Yeah.
I didn't buy a house, but
I think that's not even just a lesson for widows. I think that's a lesson for people. Like,
in general.
Do what feels best for you.
Right.
Try not to worry
about what
others are going to say.
It came to a point. I was always worried about hurting people's feelings. And, you know, I didn't ever want to hurt people's feelings. I'm a people pleaser. And I always kind of stood back and did what was easiest for everyone else, not necessarily
not for
myself.
Yeah.
And after losing Steven and having the boys, I realized quickly that I needed to do what was best for us.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter what was best for, you know, somebody else. They weren't living in my home. And so doing what was best for the three of us was the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
And yeah, getting, you know, packing up all of his things. I bet there were, you know, a dozen people in my life who did not agree with that.
I'm sure there were.
But at that moment, I knew that that is exactly what I needed if I was going to get through living in that home. I remember my dad came and helped me paint everything in the master bedroom. And when it came to furniture, I remember walking into living spaces three times because I couldn't pick out a bedroom set. My mattress was on the floor. And the guy was like, I've seen you here before. And I was like, yeah, I just need a bedroom set. And he's like, oh, well, what are you looking at? I'm like, nothing. I don't even know. I'm like, what do you recommend? And he's like, I recommend this one or I really like this one. And I'm like, okay, if you were to pick one, which one would you pick? And he was like, that one. And I said, okay, I'll take it.
How funny.
And that was how I got that bedroom set that I'd had for so long.
Wow.
Like some guy at Living Spaces picked it out for me. I just didn't care.
Crazy.
You know, and then the boys' bunks I got there. Because they didn't have beds at the time. Trent was in a crib and Bryce's mattress was on the floor.
Jake was in a crib.
Oh, yeah.
Jake
was in
a
crib. Trent wasn't even around.
Nope.
So, it's just, you have to do what your heart is telling you to do. And, I mean, you're already in survival mode. So, to, like, just get you through that, because you will get through it. And just to get through it, you have to do what's best for you. You know, and if that meant that I had never gone back to that house again, then so be it. But I knew it was best for me to get the boys back into their home that they recognized.
Yeah.
And it wasn't best for me, I don't feel like. I feel like I could have been okay and not gone back again. But I knew that...
But you would have had to have faced that at some point, so...
Right. I would have had to pack everything up and figure it out eventually.
It's going to hurt regardless if it's a month later or a year later. It's still going to hurt.
Yeah. And there was a comfort in being there because we had been there for 4 years. Like, it was our home.
Yeah.
But it was too familiar. Like, it was... You know, me sitting on the couch at 11 o'clock, still feeling like he was in the garage working.
Yeah.
Like, those were things that I knew that I couldn't do forever.
And it would have, you know, the good memories plus the bad memories. Like,
right.
Everything in between is in those walls. So.
Right. The last moments that I saw him and the last, he had bought a dining table and chairs for us while we were away. So I walked in the house and Matt was sitting in the living room and... So there was a lot.
Yeah.
With any, dealing with any death, there's a lot to deal with. So, that's that in a nutshell.
All right. Anything else?
Nope.
They're pretty good when I get to open up.
No. Not super fun, but the goal in it all would be that somebody can hear it and benefit from it. So.
Oh,
stop acting like you know everything.
I know how to make a good podcast.
Right.
All right, until next time.
Bye.
Bye.